I'm Confucius, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 989 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Fresh and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay.
So here, you know, here at The Breaks, we are champions of the Austin music scene. We always champion the highs of the Austin music scene, urban wise. And we always try to highlight those accomplishments and many great artists in the city. Unfortunately, with that job, sometimes we have to kind of speak on things that aren't highlights, like tragedies or losses. So on February 5th, Brendan Chameleon King Foster went missing at Hippie Hollow. His belongings were found inside of his car. And so for the last, since February 5th.
The last 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, the entire music community period, no matter who, whatever genre, community.
The music community period. That's before you go on, what's the one thing I can say about the Austin music scene, community, what have you, is that when it comes to things that have, misfortunes that have befallen another artist, they are quick to come together and show love and be there for one another.
The community came together, like Fresh said, and everybody reposted, put out the word that he was missing, and even people were going out there to help search for him and see what happened to him, get any update on him. Unfortunately, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
They found his body on the shores of Lake Travis, so we want to give us our condolences to his family. Queen Dela, who was up here as a guest, that was her brother. And, you know, also, I would say that just give the family time to grieve. Obviously,
for sure,
this is a tragedy.
For sure.
The same effort we put into helping find them. Don't put that same effort in trying to hit up their family. Like, just let them grieve.
Yeah, yeah.
Rest in peace to Brendan Chameleon King Foster. It's a terrible, terrible loss. So condolences here from The Breaks.
Yes, condolences from The Breaks here. Also KUTX. And myself. Like, that is something that I can't imagine, losing a brother. I got two that I barely talk to, but I know I can't imagine what Queen Dela and the rest of her family are going through in this trying time.
Exactly. So this week on Austin Music, Austin Music Experience is a segment where we talk about things pertinent to the Austin music scene that clearly connect to the urban scene. So this week, I wanted to talk about legacy.
Great thing to talk about.
So legacy in terms of Austin music scene is always like a weird, like, it's like a weird taboo thing, right? Because legacy itself is defined by like a gift by will especially of money or other personal property or something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. The legacy of the Austin urban scene is very rich and fruitful, right? Unfortunately, that legacy isn't something that is automatically recognized or tapped into for the next generation. And I say that to say, you sometimes don't have to be fully connected to the past in order to move forward in the present or the future. Not related to Austin, there are a few younger artists that come out now, rap artists, that are very open about the fact they're not Tupac fans.
Or Biggie.
Yeah, Biggie fans. A lot of people or hip-hop fans immediately condemn those artists by saying, like, how can you not like Biggie or Tupac?
It's blasphemous.
Exactly. Me and you both have said, like, you don't have to like Biggie or Tupac to be a great rapper. Especially if you were born after they died.
Yeah, or when they died.
Exactly. When 2026 and 2027 come around, they would have been dead 30 years. And, you know, once again, the discussion we had last week, not going in depth about it, was about the respect that the current class of the urban scene has in regards to the older class. And it kind of goes to the point I made about Tupac in when it comes to Austin, and this is, might be kind of airing dirty laundry a little bit, but not too much, that there is a somewhat of a fact that remains that you don't have to be fully connected to the past of the Austin music scene, urban-wise, in order to move forward. You don't have to be fans of some people that me and you are fans of that we grew up on. It sucks. You don't have to be fans of the Sam Houston Boys to be a successful hip-hop artist.
This is true.
Legacy itself is, you know, from the Austin music, like the urban scene, is something that, like I said, unfortunately never reached the super mega peak. There was some success. There's some successful people in the, you know, from the former class and former scene that are still making a living off of it. But the main point I'm trying to make is that legacy is always important, because, you know, you have to know where you came from to know where you're going. Like my grandmother, the reason why my grandfather, maternal grandfather, came down here is because my great grandmother, who passed away before I was even born, she slapped a white man in Philly, and they did the opposite of the Southern migration and came to Texas, which is Austin.
Duggan.
And so, you know, even though I didn't meet her, I stand on the shoulders of her, what she did. Right. Not even just that moment, just her being the woman she was. Obviously, right. If you have enough unmitigated gall to slap a white man in the 20s as a black woman.
Yeah. Duggan, bruh. Duggan.
That's some cojones a lot of people, most people in this life would never have. So I stand on that legacy. You know, it's not, and even though I didn't know her, didn't communicate with her, never met her, it doesn't mean that I don't still respect who she was and what she did.
Right.
Which goes back to, once again, why the legacy of Austin is important. Me and Fresh respect the legacy. We love the legacy. But, you know, we're trying to continue it and make sure that this thing keeps going.
Most definitely. I'm a fan of history, so I enjoy learning about the legacy and the history of Austin hip hop, or just music in Austin, period. Like, that's my thing. I'm a nerd. But like Confucius stated, one here in Austin doesn't necessarily have to be tapped in, you know, to the past decades that is Austin hip hop in order to flourish within the scene. You just don't. Like, I think a good example of that is Quinn NFN. Like, I don't, you know, in interviews that I've seen, I don't hear him talk about all the guys that we come up here and we talk about or we play. Like, I don't hear him talk about the league. He doesn't bring up the league or the What It Do family or MC Overlord. I'm not saying he doesn't respect those guys.
Yeah.
But he might not necessarily be privy to everything that they have done. He might not know T-Double or what T-Double has done within the scene and for the scene. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a respect for those who came for him. You just unfortunately doesn't have to just know everything about what came before him in order to flourish. It's not Houston. Like, we have a hand in the success and the rise of Houston hip hop, but our scene isn't to the point to where Houston's is. Like, we didn't get the breakout nationally yet.
Yeah.
And we don't have the pioneer like DJ Screw that is hoisted up into, you know, rap supremacy. And unfortunately, that comes with even people working within this city not knowing what's already here. Yeah. And what has been here and what has come out of here. And you just don't need that information in order to flourish.
And I, you know, like I said, we always talk about our time coming. It's just, you know, like I said, and legacy, like I said, main point is, while important as it is, we also have to make sure we're not completely contingent and dependent on legacy.
Facts.
We don't want us to be, like I said, Al Bundy and Married with Children. Like, I made the game with a touchdown in high school.
Yes. Yeah,
whatever you say, Al, selling them shoes. So.
And I feel like legacy is one of those things that it loses its, what's the word I'm looking for?
Importance?
Yeah, when you have to constantly say it. Legacy is one of those things that is left for the people to talk about. If you have to constantly, like you said, do the Al Bundy thing, I scored the winning touchdown. Or like my aunt told me, a guy that went to LBJ with, you know, he keeps, every time she sees him, he keep bringing up that he played in the playoff game against Larry Johnson, because Larry Johnson went to school in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And she's like, every time I see him, he kind of loses his importance, bro, and y'all didn't win the game. So, like,
I had a cousin played against Cedric Benson in high school. They said, Cedric Benson hit him so hard running, they said he should have been to the NFL.
Well, like, that loses its pizzazz if you got to constantly keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, let people speak on the legacy and their accomplishments. Like, it loses. If you always got to remind anybody, is it really that important? That's how I look at it personally.
I mean, that and your accomplishments better be paying some bills. You need to reassess some things.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't want the validation. I want the compensation.
I will take both. But I'm not going to be the guy that just constantly sit here. Well, you know, you remember, I was one, you know, one half of the breaks. I did that. I did first person. Like, nah, just let it stand on its own and let it be talked about. I don't have to talk about it. If you remember it, you remember. If you don't, you don't. If you know, you know. At this point, that's just how I feel about it. But yeah, I want to be paid.
Yeah, I agree
pay
too.
Pay me. I got rent and bills.
Big facts, big facts. Once again, music news time. So, Cardi B is one of the most popular artists in the world, obviously. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows the history, she came from New York City.
BX.
And famously has admitted to being, you know, affiliated with gangs before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy. I mean, you know, she's not the first and won't be the last rapper to say, hey.
Before ever. Y'all, ever. She won't be the first or last ever.
Before y'all knew who I was,
mm-hmm.
I was affiliated with some gangs, right? So, Cardi B has a friend named Star Brim. Star Brim, I first heard about it. Because, once again, I was a fan of Cardi before Bodak Yellow. And she had a song, I think, called Red Pills that came out. In the video, she's standing in the Bronx wearing all red, mm-hmm. with a bunch of people behind her wearing all red. Red.
Yeah.
And she's just grimy, just real grimy video. I love the song. I wish it would have been a single. I thought, to be honest with you, I thought that song was going to be Bodak Yellow.
To be honest with you, I thought that was a single.
I thought it was too. And so in that video, Star Brim is behind her wearing, you know, red, whatever. It's whatever. That's what I first heard about Star Brim. And I started, you know, just like most rappers, you realize, oh, this is one of her best friends. Because she would even shout her out on Instagram, like, hey, my friend, and da da da. So Star Brim ends up going to jail, I think, for something involving scamming. And gets out recently, like in the last like maybe year or so. And at that time when she gets out, you know, she gets pregnant. So, unfortunately for Star Brim, her affiliation with a gang is now leading to her being in some legal trouble. So according to Hip Hop DX, which, yes, I sometimes check it still.
Boy, been on Hip Hop DX in years.
Facts. Cardi B's bestie, Star Brim, was caught up in a federal sweep of New York Bloods gang subset. 59 Brims on Tuesday, NBC4 reports, the Southern District of New York identified star-born Yanetta Respis in the indictment among 17 other defendants in the case of Cardi B's alleged violent assault against two sisters working at Queens Strip Club Angels as bartenders back in 2018. While multiple arrests swept the city, Star remains free for now and has arranged with prosecutors to turn herself in at a later date since she is pregnant and could give birth soon. It was first reported Cardi herself ordered the attack on the two bartenders, now identified as Rachel and Sarah Wadley. But court documents reveal it was Star who allegedly commissioned the hit while doing prison time in Connecticut the same year. Now she is being charged with racketeering and for the ordering of subordinates to pop that bottle on one of the women whom Cardi believed to have slept with her husband Offset. Police are naming Star as a high-ranking gang member known to the Brims as their godmother.
Whoa.
She reportedly calls the shots and was said to be dissatisfied over the outcome of the attack, which wasn't as violent as she had hoped.
As soon as you read the words, she commissioned the hit while in prison, I was like, ooh, Rico. And then you said shortly after she's being hit with racketeering, oh yeah, Rico, bro. It sounded like organized crime.
Yeah, you know, once again, it's all allegations. She could eat this, you know, criminal justice system, black people, you know, she could easily be innocent, and she's innocent until proven guilty.
Facts.
And there is a history of law enforcement like tagging on extra charges to people who are not that devious as they seem. Like, for instance, Bobby Smurda, they made it seem like him and that.
Man, yeah, they made it seem like him and Rowdy Rebel was like
mafia leaders.
The guys of like, GS9.
They're like 17, like, calm down.
Yeah, like, what? I mean, it's not far-fetched for 17-year-olds to be there, but they weren't. They weren't what they were made out to be.
And I get why they do that, because you tack on so many charges, when it goes to court, they can have a better chance of getting some conviction,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the 10 they try to tack on to. But yeah, that's the allegations. Like I said, it's unfortunate because it's going to be tied back to Cardi.
Unfortunately.
And Cardi's just, you know, Cardi, that should just be her friend. Like, you know, if I'm affiliated with something and I get busted, they're going to look at you and be like, well, we seen that you've sent him money on Cash App or you money laundering. I don't know any more details than what I just read. If she is known as the godmother, holy crap.
Man. La Marina.
Man. You know what? And hey, also, it's kind of dope. You don't really hear about too many like high-ranking gang members with women. Like,
facts.
It's kind of in New York, in the Bronx. Like, the Bronx is a wild place. Like, you come up through the ranks in the Bronx? This ain't like Rochester. Like, no, this is the Bronx, bruh.
This ain't like someplace upstate. Well, then again, I found out Buffalo was a dangerous place.
Yeah, me too.
Since Griselda came out, I was like, Buffalo, but hey, hood's everywhere.
Hood's everywhere.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
So Big Sean was recently did an interview with Joe Budden on the Pull Up Show. The bulk of the interview, it was Big Sean talking about his mental state and saying why he decided to take time away from music. He talked about recently buying a gun. He chastised Joe for saying things about Jhené Aiko, which was funny.
He did.
Should have been talking stuff and not in those words. But he also mentioned the fact that the responsibility that he felt being successful and having to take care of his family and how it affected his mental health. I like Big Sean. I'm a Big Sean fan. I don't always want to hear about what his next album's going to sound like. I want to hear about, like, what's going on with you? What in the time since your last album, what has been going on with you? Because you deleted your Instagram pictures, like, you know, you're dating Jhené. Like, how's it, like, what is going on
truth
mentally? Exactly. So I'm happy that it was, you know, that conversation was had.
Yeah, I took a lot away from it. One thing, like you said, was him talking about his mental health. And, like, I guess, in a sense, him having kind of like a survivor's remorse.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm this guy that made it out of Detroit and where I'm from and having to go through being from Detroit and yet having to take care of, having to be the guy that has to take care of everybody around me.
Yeah.
Or be the guy that's in the position that can't help to take care of everybody or uplift everybody else. So I admired that he, you know, came out to talk about that. I think mental health has become like the trendy thing to talk about, but his conversation with Joe came off very genuine and like, no, this is real. This is what I had to deal with. And this is what I went through. This is how I was feeling. And I admire him for saying that I had to recognize that, nah, I need to step back. I need to take time away. I need to be in a different headspace, going like away from music, just get away from music and just focus on me.
I agree. And I can just imagine, like I said, even the pressures we deal with being on the breaks, I can imagine the pressure he has to deal with as, you know, one of the, you know, top tier artists, hip hop artists that's currently active.
One of the only people keeping the lights on at Def Jam.
Facts. And so I can, like, just imagine the pressures of that. And he also mentioned the fact about him and Kendrick's beef, because I will admit I'm a hip hop conspiracy theorist in the sense of stuff like that. So I assume him and Kendrick hate each other. And Fresh can laugh all he wants to, but Fresh is he's an enabler too when it comes to artist beefing.
No, I wanted the beef to happen. I'm open. I'm a Sean fan. I'm more of a Big Sean fan than I am a Kendrick fan. I wanted the beef to happen.
That's fair.
I wanted the beef to happen. Like, I didn't get on Kendrick until 2012, until Section 80. I was already on Sean.
Yeah.
Like, the Finally Famous, the first mixtape, you know, Big Sean, the second one, and Finally Famous 3. Like, I was already rocking with Sean.
Yeah.
And that was, the Finally Famous 3 came out in, I believe, 2011.
Yeah.
So I was already rocking with him. So when this happened, and the internet took it and just ran with it, I was right there with him. Yeah. Then I was a little disappointed because certain songs, it sounded like Kendrick was going at Sean, and then it sounded like Sean was responding, and I was just like, that's not going to cut it, Sean. It's not going to cut it, bro. You got to come harder than that. I know you can. So I was looking for it to happen. I'm always looking for a good rap beef. I didn't like how he tried to play like he didn't know where it started at first, and I was like,
"Oh man, don't do yeah."
You know,
yeah,
I was sitting there watching like, "Nah, you know
you
how
knew
it started.
Damn
you
well
knew
where it came
you knew
from.
What you said. You knew what song you said it on. And then when he said like the song, I did it on a said something about a song on No More Interviews. I was like, yeah, bro. Like, speed this up. You know what we're talking about. This, we didn't just pull this out of the air. But I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't an issue. He said there wasn't one, but that's one side of it. We don't necessarily know that Kendrick feels that way because Kendrick doesn't talk.
He doesn't talk. And I like Big Sean and Jhené together. They make great music together.
2088, that album was hard.
I got to think I'm worried this because Jhené clearly blocks people.
You think she listens to the podcast?
I don't know. I don't want to find out later on she does. 2088 was Jhené's best work, in my opinion. And I don't fully disagree with Joe on his view on her.
I didn't at all. I didn't disagree at all. I'm not a Jhené fan. All her songs run together to me. She can block me out.
Okay, see, you said that.
She can block me out. She won't. I don't care, bro. I do not care. All her songs run together. She has songs that I do like, but like, a lot of that sound the same, and Sean sat up there talking about the sound that she pioneered, she don't get enough credit for, and that was with the rest of the internet. What sound of this did she pioneer in R&B today? Because I'm lost, and if she pioneered the sound, it's mad people that have come along and do her sound better than she has.
Well, no, I agree in that aspect, because I feel like the Summer Walkers, the Kehlani's, a lot of these artists that kind of have this, like, kind of, they're not, like, blowing vocal cords and
the whole,
like,
airy.
Yeah, airy type. Janae kind of did get that thing going.
Yeah, they do it better than her, in my opinion.
Like I said, I agree with Joe's point on it. Like I said, I understand Joe's opinion.
Like I said, she got songs that I rock with, but
it is. And this is crazy. We went from Big Sean to her, but it is a little bit unsettling that, like, because you know what she, because her first mixtape, I think, was Great mixtape. I mean, almost front to back, it's great. So it's like, imagine, oh God, I'm gonna definitely get blocked after this. Imagine Drake drops So Far Gone. And you're like, okay, the next one's the follow-up, like, and then he drops Thank Me Later.
That's what happened, though.
It even hurts me. You know, an artist has it in them. I'm hoping with bated breath that whatever album she, because she has an album coming out March 6th, that album has similar great songs on it. And then when I turn it on, I don't think it's just 12 tracks of P-Fairy.
I'm looking forward to 2088 album, the second one, whenever it comes.
That ain't coming.
Whenever it comes.
I don't think it's coming. Because he said in an interview, too, that Def Jam didn't want nothing to do with that album. The title came swooping in.
Well, that's kind of Big Sean's career, though.
Facts.
And he kind of spoke to that, like, being at Def Jam and sitting there after Kanye signed him and them not realizing how big of a deal he was online. Because Def Jam clearly and even still runs on an old model. Sean spoke to, like, Finally Famous 3, the mixtape coming out, and it having this huge buzz online. And Def Jam didn't know what to do, and then Rory on Joe Budden's podcast spoke to it and was like, Def Jam didn't realize that Sean was, you know, a big deal until, like, I think, like, 2 weeks before his debut album came out, and he did an event at the Bape Store in New York, and, like, it was packed out, and it was a line around the block, and then they were like, oh, they here to see him? He signed to us? He has an album coming out in 2 weeks? Yeah, he signed to y'all, and y'all have put his album out in 2 weeks, and you don't know this. I was trying to figure out how they hear about the event, because they clearly didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's his career, is him having to constantly prove himself as a top tier act.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our second segment of the night. A little bit late, but better late than never. Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All righty. So, I preface this Unpopular Opinion with, I was listening to A Waste of Time with It's the Real podcast, because I like It's the Real. What's up, Eric and Jeff? And I was listening to the episode with Russ. And I'm kind of coming around to Russ. Music-wise and as a person. That's not the Unpopular Opinion, though. Wow, that still is an Unpopular Opinion. But Russ said some things that kind of resonated with me and Eric and Jeff. Eric and Jeff of It's the Real agreed with Russ. So basically, they were asking Russ. Russ was going through the whole timeline about him, you know, coming up through the blog era and being signed. And, you know, people finally realizing that, oh, snap, this guy has something. He has some appeal. You know, like, he really sells. He's a really good artist. And Eric and Jeff asked him, like, do you look back on all the hollering and the screaming that you did about, you know, look at me, I can do this, I rap, I produce, I mix, I write my songs. Like, do you look at that as a knock, like, do you look at it more so, do you look at it as, like, something that you shouldn't have did? And Russ was like, at the time, the way I was saying things was horrible. I shouldn't have said it the way that I said it or came off the way that I came off. Doing all of that made me come off as a certain type of way, and have people have this opinion of me, which is true, because people still hold that opinion of him. And Eric and Jeff was like, well, you know, at the time, it was a certain time where they felt like they had to champion what they did and everything that they did, because nobody else was doing it. So, and then after they went on that little spiel, I thought about something I once heard Deion Sanders say: they don't pay you to be humble. And so my unpopular opinion tonight is, it's cool to not be humble, man. Like, it's cool not to be humble. I know everybody always tells you, it's the thing to say on the internet is, man, just stay down and stay humble, bruh. You know, you're going to get your... Nah, man, nah. My co-host may disagree with me on this, but no. Sometimes you have to stand on top of your soapbox or stand on top of that molehill and shout out what you have done, which just comes off as ironic as Austin Music Experience is about legacy and me saying that your legacy should be something that other people talk about. But there are times I feel like where if you aren't feeling that you are being impactful and you are making a change or you are making a way and it's just not being noticed, and you know it should be noticed, speak up. Say something. Closed mouth don't get fed. And sometimes I feel like sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you, like I said, you got to stand on top of your soapbox and let everybody know what it is that you are doing. I think what happens is, and what happened with Russ was that he constantly was doing that. He constantly was reminding people. Like, the recent thing he did was getting on, IG Live or something, and saying he sold out the Staples Center. He sold this out overseas, and you can't name 7 other artists that's not Kendrick, Drake, or J. Cole that can sell out the Staples Centers or the places that I'm selling out. Like, when you continue to do that, then it comes off a way. Then you just start looking like an a-hole. But, like, yeah, I think there are points where sometimes you just have to stand up and just say, hey, I do this, I've done this. I deserve this. Give me mine. Once you get it, chill out. Like, once you get it, just chill out. You can't walk around with a chip on your shoulder forever. And that's something that I personally had to learn. I've reached a certain amount of success, or at least I feel like I've reached a certain amount of success where I don't have to stand up all the time and just say, hey, well, I did this, I did that, I'm doing this. At this point, the success and the work speaks for itself, so I don't have to say it. And like I said, other people will say it. Other people mention that I or Confucius are doing this, or we are doing this, or we have done this. There's no need for us to be brash and constantly remind people of what we have done. But yeah, I believe there's a certain point where, yeah, man, you can throw humility out the window and just talk your ish, man. So that's my unpopular opinion. But now it is that time of the show where we get a little more wiser and some wisdom imparted on us from the man himself, Confucius. Here is Confucius Says.
All right, you're not going to get wise off this one. So Fresh, or during his unpopular opinion, spoke about humility and you don't get paid to be humble. You don't get paid to be humble. And I agree. And I always try to stay grounded as possible and humble as possible, but only because, like I said, I'm always scared to lose all that I've obtained and all that I've worked for. If anybody follows me on Twitter, I say things, just random stuff that pops in my head, and also things I feel like people haven't fully thought about or might not be on their mind. And not to say I just know everything, because I don't, but just that's what Confucius says, and that's kind of what my Twitter is. I say that to say, y'all better stop questioning me on social media. Most of y'all know what the hell y'all talking about. Now, granted, this is going to be me doing my touchdown celebration. When I tweet, I make a Facebook status, or I say something on Instagram, I'm 9 times out of 10, I'm saying something I know about. So when y'all decide to pop up and question me about it, you better hope you have your facts straight. I mentioned on Twitter the other day, I said, you know what? Don't spread yourself too thin trying to chase your dreams. Enjoy life. Because a lot of times I see people, and a lot of, I mean, Fresh and our friend O, and just other people I've had a conversation with, we all say that sometimes, even as just black men, we feel like we have to do as much as we can to make sure everybody's happy. Big Sean spoke about that in his interview with Joe Budden, where we spoke on earlier in the show. Everything has to be happy. We have to just be octopuses, just hands going everywhere. So my point was that, man, look, there's nothing wrong with being busy, but don't be busy for the sake of being busy to say you're busy. And just miss out on hurting personal relationships or just your own mental health. Sometimes I get into this mindset of just trying to do so much that personal relationships suffer. I'm not hanging out with my friends or, you know, just this stuff like that. And so I tweeted that, and of course there was a pushback. Well, you got to work hard. Somebody take your position, bro. Look, I've worked super hard in my life in certain aspects, and still got stuff taken from me. Hard work don't mean jack. smart work will always trump hard work. So my Confucius says is, if you're going to question me, Confucius Jones, make sure you know what you're talking about. I'm 32 years old. I'll be 33 this year. I've experienced a certain amount of things in my life. Not saying I once again know everything, but trust me, when I'm at the point in my life where if I say something, I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to hear no questions about how important radio is because y'all don't work on radio. So I don't want to hear nothing about what y'all got to say about radio because most of y'all sit at home all day and listen to the same album anyway on your streaming services, which is fine. I do the same thing, but I don't want to hear anything about radio. Don't question me about it. Also, don't question me about rap if you start listening to rap 10 years ago. I don't want to hear it. Same thing goes with Fresh. Don't question nothing about what me and Fresh got to say when you're not living in those same circles. When we talked about last week about that Forbes article, a lot of people that had opinions about that don't leave the house. They sit at home all day on their couch with their kids and their family, which is perfectly fine, and probably their scratch-offs, reminiscing about times 10, 15 years ago when they were doing more in music and tried to argue with us on Facebook. Y'all don't know what's going on in the city because y'all don't leave the house. Y'all talk to the same people y'all talked to in high school that barely graduated that are still trying to tell y'all that the earth is flat on Facebook and argue with NASA scientists and have the nerve to tell me and Fresh we don't know what the hell we're talking about when it comes to the city. I don't want to hear it. Y'all need to shut up. Don't question me ever again. We talk to Wayne Eric. We do business with him. We're out here all the time. What we told y'all is not what we guessed. It's what we heard. If y'all don't live in the city, I don't want to hear it either. I don't want to hear y'all question us about how our love for it is because most of y'all's love for the city only extends to your accomplishments and the city does not run off your accomplishments. I don't want to hear nothing about my personal life. Don't question me if you don't know what you're talking about. And that is my Confucius says.
You've been holding that in there for a while, huh, brother?
I'm out of breath.
Hey, there you go. God, he just let the whole clip off. Just, man. This week for Local Song of the Week, we have Infrared with their single Bag Baby. The trio made of Lloyd Black, Lothrax, and Jay Fleet have recently released an album, The Rule of Three. Now here is Bag Baby by Infrared.
I need a bag, baby.
I don't know what y'all need from me, but hey,
I need a bag, baby.
I don't know what y'all want from me, but hey,
I need a bag, baby. The hating never lasts. You mad, but you sitting on your way when I'm all about that cash, baby. Yeah, I need a bag, baby.
Yeah. Hey, gotta get that bag, show your mans how we do it. When I ain't got that bag, I twist and turn like a Rubik. Jamming black mags, cool kids, old schooler than that blackjack. Open my bag and add to it a fat. Brain empty, don't have a clue. Like a lab rat, I'm all whited out, but my pocket's blue. Nike boots like Wale, doing what I gotta do. No look past Pat Mahomes, audibles off the edible. With a goddess speaking sexual, extraterrestrial, the moon rocks incredible. Beamer, who in it? Interior reef in it. Balcony so high I'm seeing bird backs. Been bout my bread since my TV had a curve back. Now I'm hot, they all on me, they get curved back. Hey, it's return of the Mac. Revenge of the Thrax. Smoking out the condo, neighbors think I serve
packs. I don't know what y'all need from me, but hey,
I need the bag, baby.
I don't know what y'all want from me, but hey,
I need the bag, baby. The hating never lasts. You mad, but you sitting on your ass when I'm all about that cash, baby. Yeah, I need the bag, baby.
I need a bag with mine. I need to figure ways to make more money. About half the time, tired of working this 5 to 9. I mean 9 to 5. I gotta get this money while I'm still alive. Got them. And who am I to go and sit and cry about this piece of pie that I don't have, dog? Man, it's only time. How these niggas say they hustle, they don't even grind. How you say that you a star when you don't even shine? Niggas say they got the bag, but these niggas lying about everything and all they rhymes like half the time. I need a bag, tryna make it off my sign. They say money is the root, but it make the world round. I'm just chilling in this world, finding common ground, man. Yeah, I'm just finding common ground, yeah. And I ain't got time to lounge, man. Nah, want the bag and need it now, man. Yeah, I
I don't know what y'all need from me, but hey,
I need the bag, baby.
I don't know what y'all want from me, but hey,
I need the bag, baby. The hating never lasts. You mad, but you sitting on your ass when I'm all about that cash, baby. Yeah, I need the bag, baby. Me and the bass go together like a snare and a drummer. Shade in the summer, drummer and baby mamas, y'all. Child support and your daddy, a pimp and his caddy. That bitch that wish she had me, man, yeah. Watching other n***s moves, though I can never lose. A who is made to choose, right, dog. Consequences when you ain't focused. She moving on at a moment's notice. So you best get to the bag. And know I'm on it like a motherfucker. Out here doing what they wish they coulda. Hand grenades and horseshoes, that's really close. Only lames can only brag and boast about some that almost was. Fizzing in your city like that's almost bust. It's a pity like if only cuz. Man, there ain't no other reason. And who's known to change with the season. So get to the bag, baby.
I don't know what y'all need from me, but hey,
I need the bag, baby.
I don't know what y'all want from me, but hey,
I need the bag.
I need a bag, bag, bag,
I
baby.
Need a bag, baby.
Need a bag, bag, hey. Bag,
I
baby.
Need a bag, baby.
I need a bag, bag, bag,
get
baby.
To the bag, baby.
I need a
ooh, oh.
Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.